Well, thank you for being here today. It's just an honor to be a part of this family of God along with you. So thank you, each and every one of you. Really, I super appreciate it. We're going to read from the Word today, so let's go ahead and turn the lights on in the sanctuary. And I've started this series, The Mind of Christ, and have gotten so much response from it, and I feel good about that. I'm thankful for that. Of course, God gets all that credit. I didn't come up with it or write any part of the Bible. Not one word. No, I really didn't. I didn't write any one, not a bit of it. So I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for what God is teaching us about our minds and about how we think and how important that is for our Christian walk. And I've talked to so many that said, Pastor Jeff, that's my problem. That's what I'm like, I know, man, me too. That's the deal. If we get that under wraps, we're going to make some great progress in our Christian walk and for the kingdom of God. Last week we talked about monitor what goes on up there and monitor what goes in up there. Be careful. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above. We learned about phroneo, that's the Greek word that has that phrase in it, that's translated from that phrase, set your mind. Exercise or direct or entertain your thoughts to a certain direction. It's a conscious effort that we have to do. It's not a natural thing, right? Okay, so we understand the importance and the relevance of monitoring our thought life. So we get to Romans 12:2, and it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed, not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Renewing your mind. So I begin to study this in this long study of the mind of Christ, renewing my mind. And how do I do that? I know that I should. What does it look like practically for me? Let's look at the word renew. It actually comes from a Greek word, two Greek words, anakoinos. And the ana means up, and koinos means new or fresh. Freshen up, new up, renovate. Make new again. So we're going to renew our minds. Titus, it's written in Titus 3:5. Paul says, he saved us not on the basis of deeds, thankfully, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Renewing by the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:10, we read, 3:2 we read, set your mind. 3:10 says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge. Renewed to a true knowledge. Soak all this in, because all this is going to come full circle here in a minute. Renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. And then Ephesians 4:23, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. So I want to share something with you that I learned during this study. In this study, bless you. In this study, I began to find out about this thing called neural pathways. Anybody heard about that? Neural pathways. All right. There's some intelligent people here today. I saw you. Not that if you didn't raise your hand, you're not intelligent. Oh, brother. I'm just joking. I had never heard of this either. Neural pathways. So let me talk to you about neural pathways. And my end goal here is this. It's very interesting and amazing to me that science is just now figuring out about the principles that God's been teaching people for thousands of years. Right? It's like, oh, that's why you, yeah, that right there, that light bulb moment. Neural pathways are the connections that form between neurons in your brain. And you can think of them as a pattern that represents any thought about anything that you've ever had, as simple as an apple or complicated as love and integrity. So we used to think that, and we were taught that the brain is like a computer. It stores information, and then when we need information, it goes back to and gets it and brings it back, and like a file cabinet, like it's a storage place. But actually, they found out, and they can actually do scans of your brain while thinking and look at how your brain is reacting. And neural pathways is how the brain stores information, feelings, and everything else. It's not actually a storage. It's a pattern of neurons that go off in your brain. And these things, these neurons, create, that they actually light up on this camera that they have. And they light up, and like if I say apple, there's a part of your brain that starts this pathway, neural pathways, and it lights up, and it goes and it hits different areas of your brain regarding the thought that I just caused you to have about an apple. Some are red, some are green, how they taste, crispy, maybe the rotten ones. So your brain is going through this pathway, right? Now, here's what's interesting about neural pathways. There's billions of ways that a pathway can happen in your brain, the different pathways. As a matter of fact, when I said apple, none of you had the same neural pathways as anybody else in this place. As a matter of fact, in the whole world, neural pathways are so unique, like fingerprints, that even with every thought, everyone thinks differently than you do. I know what you're thinking. Thankfully. But everyone thinks differently. I thought that's an interesting little fact there. So we got these neural pathways. Here's the interesting thing about neural pathways. Some are dominant neural pathways. Think of it as pathways in a forest. You take this path every day, you're going to wear that pathway down to the dirt, right? Those are dominant neural pathways. These are things that you think about over and over, that you use, that you go over and over and over again all the time, and you cause that pathway to be dominant. As a matter of fact, it can become so dominant that that is your default thought. When I think of apple, you've thought of apple so many times in your life that it goes to that particular thought, right? Then there's lesser, weaker pathways. Because like for instance, if you just learn something new, but you don't use it, you don't go back over it, and it's just a weak pathway, neural pathway, it begins to dissipate within 24 hours. So when I'm learning Spanish, and gracias, and I'm learning Spanish, and so there's words that I'm like, oh, that's a good word. I'm going to need that. I'm going to have to ask for a table for two. When I get to Ecuador, there's some phrases that I'm going to need, and I go over them, and I practice them. I think about them, and that causes a dominant pathway. So much so that when I hear that word in English, my pathway crosses with my Spanish word that I've learned. However, there's some Spanish words that I'm like, I'm never going to say that. I never said that in English. I'm not going to say it in Spanish, right? And if I don't go over that and over that, I'm going to forget it. It's going to go away because it's a lesser, weaker neural pathway that I don't follow, and it's going to dissipate and begin to dissipate in 24 hours. So every time you learn something new, your brain creates a neural pathway, and it's formed. It's like, here's what's interesting about neural pathways also. They also have to deal with your behavior and your feelings and your emotions. For instance, someone is afraid, let's say, when I say apple, you have this fear. Your brain triggers a fear. when you first saw an apple ever in your life and there was a traumatic experience and something about the apple frightened you, and let's say by off chance it happens a few more times in your encounters with apples, pretty soon you're going to grow up with an unhealthy, unrealistic fear of apples. We've all probably known somebody that had unrealistic fears of things in their life. Mine are frogs. I'll touch a snake, I'll touch a spider any day of the week, but keep your frogs away from me. But anyway, we know people that's got these unhealthy fears of something that really doesn't make any sense. And it because when you hear that, your brain starts this pathway and it triggers fear. Now, here's the good news about neural pathways. We can change our neural pathways and we can create new ones. For instance, one of the things, you know, Jill has taught me this, one of her scriptures, is you have not given me the spirit of fear, but of love and peace and a sound mind. So she says that so often that whenever something triggers a fear, her neural pathway hits that verse. There's something fearful in her life. She immediately thinks, well, God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a love and peace and a sound mind. You see how that can work? We can change our neural pathways. It requires some time and some work. But I want to give you an example that I read. There's an engineer that created a bike called the reverse brain bicycle. Has anybody heard of that? Reverse brain bicycle. There's gears on the steering wheel so that when you normally turn left, the bicycle turns right. Have you ever heard of that? Have you seen that before? Anybody? So the engineer that built this, did this video, he made it, he invented it, and he says, you cannot ride this bike. Your brain will not allow you to learn how to ride this bike. He practiced it every day. It took him 8 months to learn how to ride this bicycle. As a matter of fact, Mythbusters, anybody like Mythbusters? So Mythbusters did a special on the reverse bike. And they got all these people, and they put them on this bike. They told them what was going to happen. The goal was to ride this bicycle 12 feet, right? Just 12 feet. Ride a bicycle 12 feet. Nobody could do it. Something about you, when you're in this position, you want to turn right. You do that, right? You turn, pull with the right, push with the left. You turn right. So it was very odd, and they said, proven, no one can ride this bike. You know, it would take months and months without a lot of practice. Your brain cannot handle riding this bike. But there's a doctor that's been studying neural pathways, and he thought to himself, if I really believe in this study that I'm doing, the science of neural pathways, then I should be able to train my brain instead of recreate neural pathways so that I can ride this bike. What if I create new pathways so that I can ride this bike? And so he set out on this experiment. He videoed it, had a video log of this, and he did a couple of things. He said, number one, I cannot think of this as a bicycle. So I've got to name it something else. Because when I say bicycle, my brain thinks the two wheels, the handlebars turn like this. So it's not a bicycle. I'm going to call it something else. So he called it a cyclops. He said, I'm not going to say steer, because when I think of steer, I think of steering wheel or the bike steering one way or another. I'm going to call it guiding. I'm going to guide my cyclops. When I'm on my cyclops, I'm going to guide it. And he said, I can't think of pull to the right to turn right. I've got to do opposite. So let's go with a push. So you push to go right. So I'm going to push to go right. Push left to go left. Right? So he's thinking about this, and he reinvents these words in this mind. He's creating neural pathways, brand new ones. And so for 5 days, just 5 days, he didn't get on the bike or anything, just for 5 days, he took from 5 to 15 minutes every day, just closed his eyes, and he just imagined him on his Cyclops, and when he pushes right, he sees the wheel turn this way, and he pushes his left hand, he sees the wheel turn this way. So he did this over and over for 5 days, 5 to 15 minutes every day. And so he said, now this, he's just experimenting. He said, we'll see if this happens. Set up a camera and got on this reverse bike, or Cyclops, as he called it. And he rode that thing for 12 feet, first time on it, ever. The only person ever to actually ride it successfully, because he created neural pathways, new ones. He created new pathways. Again, what amazes me about this is that this is stuff that God knew and tried to teach mankind, not exactly this, but the principles of renewing our minds, being careful what we think about in our heads. And he's been doing that for thousands of years. So he did this bike, created new neural pathways. It's interesting that we can do that. Now, here's what's really cool about this. I want to go to this word repent, because I'm going to give you four practical things that we can do to renew our minds or to create new neural pathways. We're going to renew our minds, right? I'm going to give you four practical things that we can do. Okay? Now, also, while I'm talking about this, and I'm talking about our minds and thinking what we need to do and stuff like that, I'm not talking about metaphysical stuff like, if I think it, the universe will manifest it. I'm not talking about that. That's a bunch of hooey. All right, let's not go there. I'm talking about science, and I'm talking about biblical spirituality, okay? So, four practical ways to renew your mind, to make new pathways in your head. And number one, I don't think I'm going to get through all four today, so I'm not going to rush if that's okay with you. So, number one, repent. I'm going to go through repent. I'm going to go to set your mind. I'm going to hit stop. We have to stop, relax our minds. I'll go through that. And then the fourth thing is remember. So let's start with repent. Now, I'm renewing my mind, and Jeff says repent. And what an odd one to start with. But I want you to realize something. And this was new for me too. Don't throw things up here if you don't like this. Repent comes from a Greek word, metanoeo. It means to think differently or to reconsider. I read that and I'm like, wait a second. No, that's not it. So I begin to look at every lexicon that I could find online and in my office. I got lexicons and Bible dictionaries. Vine says, to change one's mind or purpose after a realization. To change one's mind for the better. Heartily to amend with abhorrence to one's past. Lexham Bible Dictionary said, the Greek word for repentance derives from a word meaning to radically change one's thinking. Maybe everybody knew that already, but I really thought repent was something else. I thought repent was, you know, I'm sorry, Lord, I apologize. And that's part of it, but that's not really what repent means. I also thought repent was when we're going one way and we turn around and go the other way. You know, preachers used to say that was repent. And that's part of it too. But it boils down to how you think. Isn't that amazing? Anybody else? Okay. Easton's Bible Dictionary said this. I've got these quotes because I want to prove it to you, because I had to prove it to me too. They said there are three Greek words used in the New Testament to denote repentance. Metamelome, metanoeo, and metanoia. all comes derives from the same word. And all of them deal with your mind and your purpose and your thinking being radically changed after you've figured out something. You have a realization and you radically change your mind. Now I want you to think about how we've heard the word repentance in the Bible. Jesus says it a lot. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew, after Jesus goes to the desert and starts his ministry, the first words quoted, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark, it's the first words quoted Jesus made, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John the Baptist quoted it all the time, repent, repent, repent. Radically change your thinking. Repent and sin not. Radically change how you think and don't sin. He didn't say, stop sinning and then change your thought pattern. He said, radically change how you think and stop sinning. See, a lot of times when we want something from God, or when we want to be better, or when we want to get saved, we think of, what do I got to do? Well, I got to stop doing this. I got to quit doing that thing, and that's terrible, and that's bad for you, and that's a habit forming. I got to stop that, and I need to start. We think of these behavioral changes that we need to make. And I think what God is trying to teach us is that if you will change your thought process, your behaviors will change afterwards. If you'll change how your mind is thinking about spiritual things, about God, about the Bible, your habits will change accordingly. Sometimes it's easy for us to get it the other way around because, to be honest with you, it's easy just to go through some rules and regulations I've got to do. I got to be at church on this certain day. I got to do this and I got to do that. And we get these physical things. Some denominations rely on you physically changing your behaviors to become a Christian. It really has nothing to do with your heart. As long as you do this, you say this kind of prayer this many times and all this kind of stuff. And I think what God's teaching is if you'll change how you think, your behaviors will follow. Amen. One said that repentance is that voluntary change in the mind of the sinner in which he turns from sin. Being essentially a change of mind, it also involves a change of view and a change of feeling and a change of purpose. When we repent, we're not simply saying, I'm sorry, Lord. I apologize. I'm going to try not to do that anymore. But we're saying that I have reconsidered how I used to live. I'm changing my mind and my thought process from sin and from a disobedience to a thought process of obedience. I'm going to make that radical change. Yes, I'm going from one direction and going this way, but it doesn't start as a physical thing. It starts in my mind. I think about it first. I get it in there. I fix my neural pathways first. My new radical repentance, my new radical thinking or my repentance says that this word of God is true. Think of those things that we have to radically reconsider. Jesus said, you know your enemies, you say, and this is in his manifesto in Matthew, he says, you say that you're supposed to love your neighbors. And I say, love your enemies, pray for them. And he said, you need to lose your life to save it. Mm-hmm. He said, you have to give stuff away to get it. It's things that's opposite. We have to radically change how we think in our Christian walk. Repent, because if you change your thought process, you'll change your behavior. And I'm going to hit one more, and that is number two is to set. We've talked about this a little bit. Set. Purposely think of spiritual things. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, for those who are according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So my challenge is to you, set aside time to purposely cause yourself to consider and think about what God is doing in your life or about what God has done. Read the Bible and pray. Regularly fill your mind with God's word. Regularly. Psalms 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Of course, we know Philippians 4 and 8. Whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Think on these things. We must be intentional about our thought process and what we fill our minds with. And I also want to encourage you to be teachable. As you're reading the Bible, don't read it like you know the punchline. Read it like, maybe I'm going to read it differently this time. It's a good chance that every time you read a scripture, the Holy Spirit will bring something different along to you and download some new neural pathways in your mind. Be teachable and bendable in your understanding and not hardened. Luke 24:45 says, then he, and that's talking about Jesus, opened their mind to understand the scriptures. Jesus opened their mind to understand scriptures. I know that we're talking about a very physical thing, our mind. And some people are like, well, you know, let's get spiritual on this. But we have to process this through our physical bodies because we are human. We are physical bodies. Spirit, yes, takes precedence over everything. But we process this information in our minds. When you read your Bible, stay open for what the Holy Spirit has to say to you. Learn, learn, learn. Never stop learning. When you think that you have everything figured out in a certain topic in the Bible, be very concerned because you need to learn a whole lot more. There's a lot to learn about the Bible. When I have something figured out, I thought, well, maybe I don't have something figured out, and I need to really think about that. All right? So, to end today, we repent. We realize a radical change in our thinking needs to happen. And number two, set your minds. Cause yourself to think about spiritual things. And next week, we'll hit the stop. And I called it that because number three is stop. And that is stopping our brains in order to hear from God and to recreate new neural pathways. I have some interesting science on that too that has to do with brain waves, and it's pretty interesting. I'm going to tell you when is the best time for you to learn new things, and I'm going to tell you how to calm and quiet your mind. And then number four will be remember, and that has to do with memorization. Things like that. These are practical things to renew our minds. So if you would stand with me, please.